Thank you for your word, Father. We're looking forward to what you have to say to us. And I'm very grateful to Craig and Donna for inviting me to be here. You didn't get a choice. They just decided. Here's a challenging idea to start. In the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as lack or less. Doesn't exist. Sounds like a good place to be, right? In the kingdom. There's no lack there. There's no less there. But sometimes when you look at your own life, you do see lack. You do see less, don't you? Sometimes when you look at the church, you say, yeah, there's lack there. There's less there. Sometimes you look around at the world and you say, yeah, there's lack there too. I see it. But in the kingdom of God, there's this idea that Jesus introduces to us that there is no lack in it. There's no less in it. You don't live poor in the kingdom of God. This is not money. This has to do with the state of your being. We have this view of life. It's a crazy view of life. And I love it. I love being a little bit crazy. There's no poverty in the kingdom. There's no lack. There's no less. But there is more. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'll take the more. I want more, right? And you know, you ever seen those salesmen on the tellies? You want more? Steak knives, you know, the whole thing. There's always more. In the kingdom of God, there is more. I love that. I love that. Jesus wants me to be included in something where there is always more. And when the kingdom comes to your life, the kingdom grows from very small beginnings and it builds and builds and builds until you begin to change the way you see the world. Now, you know, naturally, my personality, you know, as my wife would tell you, perhaps this is one of those things, brother, I didn't confess before. Maybe I should have said this. But my basic personality is what they call, lost the word now. Man, preachers who lose the, sorry? Forgetfulness. Wow, yes. Funny you should say that. But you know how they talk about sanguines and phlegmatics, melancholies. Yeah, melancholies. My wife will tell you, she'd always come up with a crazy idea and I'd give her five reasons why it wouldn't work or it was a stupid thing to do. So there was a lot of training needed for me. And you know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit began to teach me, which she's been very grateful for, is that in the kingdom there's more. And it hasn't got to do anything about money. It's about the way you do life. You see, now, after all these years, I fully expect more. I'm not looking for less. I'm not expecting less. I'm not thinking less. I'm thinking more. And because I'm in the kingdom of God, this more keeps coming out. In health, in finances, in relationships, in ministry, it just keeps going. I'm at this moment in my life, I'm 63 years of age, but between my ears, I'm 19. I am fully expecting more. I have already told the Lord what I intend to be doing in my 80s. I have no intention to stop, right? Now, I'm one of those guys that doesn't tend to stop, right? I don't even sleep well because I'm afraid I'll miss out on something. Isn't it? There's more. In the kingdom, there's more. Isn't that great news? I mean, seriously, couldn't you get, you know, just a little, yeah. Woo! I like that. Thank you very much. Feel free to kind of woo for me. Isn't it wonderful? In the kingdom of God, there is more, not less. We don't live less. We don't live with less. We live more. And this idea has come to me over the years and been one of the most building things in my life. There is more. Now, of course, I go to verses like John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done to you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's one of those verses. I go in the Bible and sometimes I go, because it's amazing. You shall ask whatever you wish or desire and it shall be done for you. Consider what the Apostle James says in James 1, 4 and 5. Let patience have its work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Yeah. Isn't that great? The whole intent of God's moving in my life is to make sure I don't lack anything. Now, let's kind of take it up a gear, shall we? Yeah. The Apostle James says, he will do a work in your life so that you will lack nothing. Now, there's a pause there, right? And the preacher pauses so that you can then contribute. Huh? So we'll practice it one more time. Here's the apostle saying, do you know, when you come into what I'm doing in the world, you will ask me and I will work in your life so that you will lack nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Put my name on that. I'll have that, thanks. That's got steak knives, it's got everything in it. I'm not gonna lack anything. You see, this is not about money. This is about the whole way you do life. You don't do life saying, well, you know, I'm never gonna have that. Yeah, you can do that if you like. It's a free world. Churches are filled with people saying, oh yeah, God, yeah. Oh yeah, miracles, yeah. I mean, we always live with less. We expect less. So what do we get? Less. But in the kingdom of God, you can see the work of God in your life so that you have this conviction of more. And when you read the testimonies of people who are suffering for their faith right now, all over the world, they will tell you they are not in lack. They are not in lack. They lack nothing, for the Lord God is with them. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it's the way they do their life. And so we have this opportunity to have more or less. Or, you know, which team you want to be on? You want to be, yeah, I'd take the more, thanks. I'm on for the more team here. There are a few mores here, so yeah. Maybe you've been prophetically named, you lot. Yeah. Woohoo, the mores. But you don't have to add the extra O in that. You can just have the one O. More. I belong to the more side of the thing. And this is a wonderful thing in Scripture. And I'm just about to show you something about that now. So there's these two incredible invitations. And yet, I find that what God's people often do is they live with less. They live unhappy, but they live with less. They live with lacking. And we tolerate this idea, this attitude, far too much. And remember, it's not about money. It's not about ease. This is, you can live with more on the inside of you, even in a place of suffering. That's why the gospel is such good news, because no matter what is happening to you, you can have more. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with the ease of your life. It has nothing to do with guaranteeing you will never suffer in your life. This is how you do life. And we do it with this attitude, there is always more in the kingdom of heaven. It's in my thinking. Now, this is my grandmother's Salvation Army songbook. My grandmother's name was Annie, A-S on the front. None of you folks would know her, of course, because she's an Orange. She lived and died in Orange, and so on. So here's my grandmother, and I didn't get this until it was bequeathed to me a few years ago, and I opened it up, and here's a picture of my mother and father when they were just finishing Salvation Army training and about to become officers, and here's a little congratulations from the war cry. Let me read it to you. Congratulations, Lieutenant and Mrs. Gordon Studley of Carron, New South Wales, with the arrival of a son. Aww. Hello. Feeling the love all over. Yes, thank you, Lord. And then it says here, Colin Ross Studley, dedicated to the Lord at Orange by the Colonel Blomberg. Do you know that name? Oh, there are some people who sort of know. He was the T-Y-S, which, you know, obviously means something. And but I'm going to get my assistant here. She wrote in this, in the insert here, and I'm going to get Donna to read it for you.
Okay.
Your great grandma's writing. Can you read it out? Much more.
Oh, that says much.
Much, yeah.
Much more hath God in store. Much more, much more. Greater glories we may yet behold. Greater blessings as the day unfolds. Greater triumphs that have yet been told. Much more has God in store.
Yeah. So that's on the inside of my mother's songbook, you see. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because this is a principle of Scripture. You can live one of two ways in this world. You can live with that. Much more has God in store. There's greater things, not less, greater. You can live with that attitude about your whole life, or you can live with, I'm under the pump all the time, I'm never going to be quite good enough, and I'll never make it any further than a certain level in my life, and, you know, probably I'll be frustrated and sidelined and everything else. You can live either one of those two ways, and the choice is yours. And no matter what you have done in your life, this attitude about more comes through the Bible time and again, where we're shown people whose lives are lived on the edge of more all the time, looking for that next thing. Much more. This is not something that I've just thought up. This has been in Scripture. My grandmother knew it. This was what she wrote in her songbook. I carry my grandmother in me. She was my grandmother. Apparently she's from the serious side of the family. So the crazy side obviously is, you know, on top most of the time. But this idea of more is such a grace, such a blessing on our life. And I want to take you through really quickly an important scripture before we close this time together. One of the earliest secrets of the army as a movement in the world was they lived, particularly at the start, as outsiders. But they had this strong confidence that because of the living God, there was always more. Always more. They expected it. They looked for it. They worked for it. They expected it. They assumed it. And that became an always thing for them. Now, this is a scripture taken from the Passion Translation. Let me read it to you. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith and life of Christ, constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. Whoa, give me a piece of that. This is the idea of Paul in writing to the Ephesians about what is truly available to us. We ought not to be living as though we don't know what's next. We ought to be living as with that expectation there is more, much more he has got in store for us. Look at these little phrases. They're amazing. They are truly amazing. The more principle comes in again and again. And notice the first one in verse 16. So right at the start of that passage, there you've got this principle, the more principle coming in, the experience of a means of a, that he's come by a means of a gift, that's something that the Father does in us. He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favour until supernatural strength floods your being. Whoa, yeah. And this is God's intent. He builds his revelation of you inside you. He builds it and builds it and builds it until it begins to flood your very being. Every time he talks about the kingdom, it always starts from very small, right? Very small. But as it grows, it fills your being. It fills your being. Unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your inmost being with his divine might and explosive power. We are not the tail, we're the head. We don't live less, we live more. If you're a young person, don't waste your life thinking about what you don't have. Develop the more principle in you. This, I'm living more. I expect more. I believe God is going to flood my being with stuff. I'm not sitting on the sidelines. I'm going to take the world on. I'm not sitting on the sidelines. I'm not living with lack. Don't you tell me I can't have it, because I believe in all things God is able to do abundantly more than all I ask or think. Yes. So you live like that. You don't live like you don't know where your next thing's coming from. You live like, hey, this is good. God wants to do a work in me. And what's more, he's going to finish it. That's a good job. He's going to finish it. You think about that. This is his prayer, the apostle prays. I pray that God would unveil within you the riches of his unlimited glory. Ooh, yeah. I'll have me a piece of that. Give me a piece of that. Yeah, I'm having that. You know the old I'm having what she's having kind of thing? I'm going to have that. That's my stuff. And that's going to fill my innermost being. And then you notice what he does. And then he says, then, as this flooding is beginning to happen to you, then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released in you. Isn't that good news? Now, who's doing that? That's God doing that, isn't it? Not me. I don't make that happen. I don't need to make that happen. I just need to have the more principle going, right? More. More, Lord. I don't want to live with less. I don't want to live like I'm struggling here. Doesn't matter whether I'm sick or well. Doesn't matter whether I'm poor or wealthy. Doesn't matter whether I'm suffering or free. Doesn't matter whether I'm in chains or completely free and in a wonderful space in my life. I need the more thing happening in me, because I'm supposed to live like his riches are unveiled to me and within me, and that are coming out of me. And by faith, by constantly exercising our faith, the life of Christ is released. It comes out here. The little overflow pipe under your nose and above your chin. And you know that people who are Christians, you ever heard what you would describe as miserable Christians? Looks like they've been sucking lemons for about, you know, like 400 years or something. And they look unhappy. You ever seen that? Oh, man. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. You know, you come up. You come to church. And you say, hey, isn't it good to be alive? No, it's not. You know, that. Oh, man, we miss so much. Here's this idea that Paul has. He says, I pray for you guys that out of your the glory and favor of the Lord, the unlimited riches would just begin to well up in you by his divine might and explosive power. And then I pray that you would have the sense to live by faith in that, so that that life will be released. Oh, God, help us to live like this. The world wants to see this. The world wants to see this. This is what it's wanting to see. It doesn't want to see people coming to church and putting their bottoms on the seat, paying for privilege and then leaving. That's not the story. That's not, hey, let me do that. You know, they don't think about that. Hey, can I come to church with you, be bored and then pay for privilege? No, they don't want to do that. But they do want life. And this is what God is talking about here in his word. I want to give you life. I want you to have more. I want you to live this more thing out in front of people. And then he says, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released in you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Oh, yes. Here's this three-step thing. I pray for this revelation. I pray that you'll have faith in response to that revelation, so that the life of Christ will come out of you, and then you will know the very source of life. I did that because, you know, salvationists are happy on the inside. Baptists, we're a little more vocal, but we just will not dance. We only dance on the inside. But I wonder whether or not God is not saying something to us this morning from his word. It seems to me that we live too long, too much of our life with less, with lack, when we are invited to have more. More. Notice what the translation says. Unlimited riches of his glory. Isn't that amazing? Don't you think that's amazing? Yeah. Don't you think that's a marvelous invitation? Do you mean I can know the unlimited riches? And the thing is, this isn't about money. This isn't about being well. This isn't about not suffering. This isn't about having your life, all the ducks of your life in order. This is about how you do life no matter what happens. Now, what we've done is we twisted that the other way. We said, oh, you know, God, you know, I'm going to put my trust in him so that he makes everything beautiful for me. I'm never going to suffer. I'm always going to have money. I'll have yachts. I'll have women. I'll have, you know, or men. People live with this sense that it's all there, but it's not. No matter what happens to you, no matter where you are on your journey, no matter where you are, no matter whether you are the ultimate failure so far, still the opportunity exists for you to live with more. And this attitude of more is what links you to the very thing you're looking for. Look at his word again. Look at the passage again. Constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. And then you'll be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ. So the invitation is pretty easy to make this morning. How do you want to live? How do you want to live? Would you like to live with this, not some sort of triumphalism and I've got everything and I'm successful? How do you want to live? No matter what happens to you, how do you want to live? The invitation is that living with more, with this attitude of more, is your best life. So here's some action steps I want to suggest to you. Over the next week, just try something. Take God's word. Go to Ephesians 3 and read the passage again and again this week. And say to yourself when you're reading it, this is the truth. I choose to believe it. And then the army used to teach people to sing it or to pray it, but above all, to say it. So let it come out of your mouth. And then, when you seem surrounded by the evidence of the opposite, say, nope, I choose to believe the report of the Lord. You do that for a few days, and on my experience, I will tell you that that will start to change your life. Because what God wants to do in you is more than you can ask or think. You think you know what God can do in your life. You don't. You think you know what the outcome of your life is. You don't. You're shooting too low. The extensive riches of his grace, above all, his love for you, which will revolutionize your being, is available to you. You want that, or do you want to live the way you're living now? That's the simple invitation of Scripture. Do you want a piece of this? Or are you happy doing what you're doing? I want a piece of this. I have no intention of going for anything less than everything God has done. Everything God has and wants to do, and everything God will do. I have no expectation, live or die, that I will have anything less than the more he promises. I will have it all. And what I do is I say to God, Lord, you promised more. I'll have that. And the way you can do that is by faith, getting it out of your mouth. Yield your life to him and get out of your mouth these things. I choose to believe what the report of the Lord says. His report says that by his great love, he can do great things and mighty things in your life. How do you want to do this? How do you want to live? You want to change the world? Here's where it starts. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is present to challenge and bless and help. I pray that all of us will begin to grasp this and want this more than we want anything else. Help us to have the faith to believe that what you've said in your word is true, and you intend to do it if we will give you half the chance. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.